this week there's a lot to speak about. Baruch Hashem, we have a double parasha, Vayakel Pekudei, and plus it's Parshas HaChodesh, which is Kedai to speak a little bit about. So let's just begin with Vayakel. It says in the Pasuk, Vayakel Moshe is Kol Adash B'nei Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the gathering of B'nei Yisrael, Vayomer Aleihem, Eile HaDvorim, these are the things Ashetziva Hashem La'asei Seisam. And he goes on to speak about Shmir Shabbos as a Hakdomer to the building of the Mishkan. The Ikri Tzivi over here was the building of the Mishkan, but as a Hakdomer to that, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about Shmir Shabbos. And the Mepharshim say that the reason why he started out with Shabbos was to tell them that although building the Mishkan is from the most noble Avodas, from the most noble Malachas, Afal Pikein on Shabbos, you're not supposed to do Malachas. But because this parasha deals with the putting up the Mishkan. Now, there's a beautiful vart from Rav Moshe of Peshevirsk. He asks a question, as others do. We don't find that every time that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the B'nai Yisrael, he had to gather them first. The Torah at least doesn't speak about it. Here the Torah stresses, Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nai Yisrael, Vayomer Aleihem Eil HaDvar Mashetziv Hashem La'asei Seisam. Why is it that over here the Torah stresses that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered them beforehand? So Moshe Peshevirsk says a beautiful pshat. Says, Moshe Rabbeinu saw with Ruach HaKodesh that the kiyum of the Beis Hamikdash is totally in the Achdus of the B'nai Yisrael. We know that Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because there was fragmentation amongst Klal Yisrael, because of the different classes in Klal Yisrael not tolerating each other. Because of Sinas Chinam, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And the truth of the matter is that in Bayis Rishon there was also a lack of Achdus. There was the 10 Shrotim, the Aseres HaShratim, and you had the two Shratim, Yehud and Binyamin. There were two different communities, two different kingdoms. And that led to a weakening of the infrastructure of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu, seeing this with Ruach HaKodesh, said that before you build a Mishkan, Vayakel Moshe, as called Adas B'nai Yisrael, he first gathered them together. He said, you have to be Ba'achdus. You come from 12 different shvatim, and you have different drachim, there's different mahalchim. The afal pikein, the yisoid hakiyum of the Mishkan, is based on Vayakel Moshe, it's called Adas B'nai Yisrael. In the midst of Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu told the B'nai Yisrael, Leisavaru eish, b'chol Moshe Reisechem b'yayim HaShabbos. You should not burn a fire in all of your dwelling places on the day of Shabbos. Now, we know that there are Lamentes Malachas. So, all Lamentes Malachas are also on Shabbos. So why only here does the Torah single out the Isser of making a fire on Shabbos, Leisavaru Eish B'chol Meish Veisechem B'yayim HaShabbos? So the emes is that there's a Machlokes Tanoim in Masechet Shabbos of why the Torah singled out one particular Malach. The Tana Reb Yossi says, have oral the chalik yotzis. That the reason why it specified one malach is to teach us that each malach is usher by itself. Don't think that the only time you're chayiv on Shabbos versus chayiv misa or a korban is if he does all lamites malachas. But if you do just one malach, then you're not chayiv. No. Have oral the chalik yotzis. The reason why the Torah just mentions one malach over here is to separate them and to show you that even on one of the malachas you're chayiv. There's another mandamer, that's Rav Nosson, that says, have oral lewab yotzes. It specifically states a fire over here, because a fire is less chumridic than any other avoda. Have oral lewab yotzes, this sheet to hold, if you make a fire on Shabbos, it's only a lab, and a person will only get malchus for it, he will not get misa. This is the Machloikis Tanoim in Masechet Shabbos. But amongst the Mepharshim, there's different nice drushes about this pasuk. Sam Sofer says a beautiful shot. Sam Sofer says that a lot of times we wonder, how come we don't feel the essence of Shabbos? Shabbos is so kodesh. Shabbos is a matana toiva that our kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. Why is it that we don't feel it? And the reason why we don't feel it, Zotar Sam Sofer, because we don't prepare ourselves for it. Chazal saying you should torach be'erev Shabbos, yoichu b'Shabbos. That goes on the physical aspects of Shabbos. If you don't cook on erev Shabbos, you won't have the food on Shabbos. But the same goes with the ruchnias of Shabbos. If a person does not prepare himself before Shabbos in ruchnias, he doesn't think about Shabbos, he doesn't think about what the parasha represents, then he can't capture the essence of that Shabbos. A person has to prepare himself beforehand. And the hepuch of that is, what is the common practice today, myself included sometimes, that we're so busy on Erev Shabbos with good things, of course, that we go all the way to right before Shabbos, we quickly take a shower, we quickly rush to shul, then comes the chadayi, we doze off. And then we wonder why we don't feel the essence of Shabbos. We have to prepare ourselves for that beforehand. It's like a lot of people have a Kabbalah. Chabad Chaim used to tell people this, they were makabel, that from Chatzos on Erev Shabbos, they don't work. So that the second part of the day, they can spend preparing for Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Feivelman, the Lubavitcher Tzal, said that they were successful in being machaber of the generation here in America of how to be Shomer Shabbos. But they weren't yet successful in being machaber of them how to be Shomer Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is the, that's where a person has to prepare himself for that Shabbos. And Anshei Meiser, in the afternoon already, they go to the mikveh early, and their mamas said, and they say Shira Shirim, they say Tehillim, and they learn, and that prepares them for Shabbos. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Don't start burning the fire of Shabbos on Shabbos itself. If you start on Shabbos itself, you're not going to be able to feel it. You have to start burning the fire of Shabbos already beforehand. That has to be lit beforehand so that when Shabbos comes, you're already well prepared. Don't think that you could start the fire of Shabbos on Shabbos itself and be able to feel the warmth of that flame. I'm so for a beautiful shot. There's another shot from the Shavuot HaKadosh. He says, during the week when people are busy, they don't have a chance to get into fights with one another. They're busy working, they're busy taking care of their different needs. They don't have that much time on their hands. But Shabbos, you know, people are free. They're free at home. They're free in shul. And that's when people have to tolerate each other. And that's when the shy have to get into the fire of machlokes. Especially, you know, in shul, this guy got an aliyah. Why didn't I get that aliyah? They were mechabed this guy with the amid, the daven for the amid. Why weren't they mechabed me? There's plenty of opportunity to get into fights. But that's up to Shalach, whether she says, don't burn the fire of machlokes in all of your dwelling places on the day of Shabbos. Shabbos is old because there's free time on people's hands. It's shy to get more into machlokes. That's when you have to be especially careful not to burn the fire of machlokes. And that fits in very well with what we said before. Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nai Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered them all together. He brought them together v'achdus. And that's when he told them, Leisavaru eish v'chol meishreisechem b'yayim ha-Shabbos. And a third shot, Leisavaru eish v'chol meishreisechem b'yayim ha-Shabbos, the Al Shechakov says a remarkable shot. It's a W Yudua that if Chas V'Sholem, a person has to end up in Gehenna. On Shabbos, he gets a reprieve. Shabbos, they turn off the fires of Gehenna, and that way he's able to rest. When is this said if he's a Shomer Shabbos? He's a Shomer Shabbos, and the fires of Gehenna don't burn for him on Shabbos. But if a fellow, he's not a Shomer Shabbos, he's kai for the whole union of Shabbos, so then they keep the fires going. For that, the Torah tells us, don't keep the fires of Gehenna burning for you on Shabbos. If you keep Shabbos down here, then those fires of Gehenna are going to be turned off. But if a person does not keep Shabbos down here, then the fires of Gehenna are going to be kept burning. When the Torah speaks about the donations that the Yidden brought to the Mishkan, it says, V'hanesiyim heviyu es avnei hashayam. The Nesiyim, the princes of every Shevet, they brought the Avnei Shoyam and the Avnei Miluim that were used for the apron and for the breastplate for the Choshen. And they were the last ones to bring the Nedoves after everybody else in Klal Yisrael. So Rashi quotes a Medrash Why is it that over here, in the donations to the Mishkan, the Nesim were the last ones to bring? Yet later on in Parshas Nosei, when it came to bringing the Korbanos Nedavim for the Mishkan, the Nesim were the first ones to bring. Now in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first 12 days of Nisan are days of Sivcha. We don't say Tachnun on those days, because those are the days that the Nesim brought their Korbanos in the Mishkan. They were the first ones to bring, before anybody else. So why is it that over here, they brought the Nedavim to the Mishkan last, and over there they brought it first? Chazal say, because they learned their lesson. They brought it first then because they learned their lesson over here. The Nesim said to themselves, you know what we'll do? Let everybody bring their donations to the Mishkan, and whatever the Mishkan is lacking, we will donate that. Sounds like a very good thing. We'll donate whatever the Mishkan is lacking, we will be the mal of the chesaron of the Mishkan. But they underestimated the power of the divas of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael rushed to bring everything to the Mishkan, so there was kamak, nothing left to donate. The only thing left for them to donate was the Avnei Shoyim and the Avnei Milum, Leifin V'Lachayshim. So they learned their lesson from being last over here. The Melech, when it came to the Nedavim, later on the Korbanos, they came first. And the Rashi is that the word V'Hanesiyim is missing a Yud over here. The Torah takes out a Yud. Why say Chazal? Because they were lazy in bringing the Nedavim to the Mishkan over here, so the Torah takes a Yud out of their name. It's sort of like a Teichach. It chastises the Nesiyim. That's a sign of laziness if you didn't step forward to bring the Nedavim. So the Mefarshim asked a question. But Rashi just said a minute ago that it came from the Divas HaLev. They said, let everybody bring whatever the Mishkan is missing, we're going to donate that. That sounds like a tremendous Nedivas HaLev. And then right afterwards, Rashi turns around and says, it came out of laziness, and that's why the Torah takes a Yud out of their name. Sounds like a steer, it sounds like a contradiction. So the tells of Rosh Yeshiva, Chaim Ortcha Katz, that's how, and this is a Yisoyed that Bali Musa said Kiseder throughout Tanakh. Of course, the Nesiyim, they were good-hearted, and of course, they wanted to donate the Leib Shalem. But in Shamayim, when they examine the actions of a person, they examine it with an x-ray machine. And of course, it came out as Nedivas HaLev. But somewhere underneath, there was a little bit of laziness involved. Had they been Zrizim, if they would be quick to do the mitzvah, they wouldn't have had such a chesed. Well, let everybody donate, and then we'll be the last ones to donate. If they wouldn't have had in themselves that midah of Zrizim, Magdim, and Mitzvah, then such a mitzvah wouldn't have happened. They never would have had it. It was a cheshbon l'shem shamayim. But sometimes a cheshbon l'shem shamayim could have beneath the surface a little bit of laziness. And Chazal, that were biting the actions of people, they were able to see through it with an x-ray machine. They learned chat in the Torah that the reason why the Torah leaves out a yud over here is to teach the Nesim of Dvar Musar. Had there not been a little bit of laziness involved underneath, then you never would have come up with such a cheshbon. That's what the Tzav of Shiva Bakal Katzatzal says. You find the same Yisrael in the Gemara and Vayim Kup. Very funny story. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was the Rosh Yeshiva of Slabodka, and the altar from Slabodka, the minig was that the Bakrim in Slabodka would stay up a whole night shavuos like they do in yeshivas. They would daven early the next morning, they would have a whole kiddush with the Suda. The Rebbetzin used to bake cakes for the yeshiva. Everybody was in the henna from the cakes. So Rabbi Zalman and the altar from Slabodka are sitting by the Suda, and the altar from Slabodka says, it could be that the reason why the Bachram stayed up last night is because of the delicious cake. So Rabbi Zalman looks at him and goes, why say that about Yeshiva Bachram? You know, they sat and learned by some other, you're saying they stood up and stayed up because of the cake? So he said, it's a Gemara Masechta Smayikot. One Masechta Smayikot says that one of the Amiroim, when his Rebbe was Nifter, he wanted to sit Shiva as if he was sitting for one of his parents. So somebody else told him, it's Mistama because you want to accept the Suda. They used to bring Sudas to the people that sat Shiva, the Sudas Amara. Mistama, you want to get one of those Sudas, that's why you want to sit Shiva. Pelo de Kakash on the Gemara, here you have a fellow that wants to sit Shiva for his Rebbe. He has such a veil as he feels so torn apart by the loss of his Rebbe, and he says he wants to sit shiva. So how could you accuse him of something like that and say he only wants to sit shiva because he wants to be makabel the special suit? The Torah says, of course, the Gemara doesn't mean that he didn't mean l'shem shamayim. Of course he meant l'shem shamayim. But in shamayim, when they look through the actions of a person, it could be that deep, deep down inside there's a little tinge that says, and I'm also going to get the star of that suit. That's what the Altar Slabotka meant. That's what, of course, the Bachrim in the Yeshiva, of course they sat up to learn a whole shavuos by night. But deep down inside, there was a little tinge, and we're also going to get to the delicious cake at the end of the meal. You're just meant to point out that a person has to be biting every one of his actions, that beneath the surface it should also be totally l'shem shamayim. And that's the nekuda over here. Of course, to the scene, they did it with Nedivas Halev. But somewhere beneath the surface, there was a little bit of laziness, and had that not been there, it could be that they wouldn't have made that whole cheshbon. Parshas Pikudei. It says, Eile Pikudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEidus. So there's a Nifladik in Medrash over here. Eile Pikudei HaMishkan, Be'eile Chotosim Lufana. With the word Eile, you sinned before me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Eile Elohecho Yisrael. These are your gods, Klal Yisrael. By Cheta Eile, they said, Eile Elohecho Yisrael. Be'eile Ani Mispayis Lachem. And with the Eile, I will become appeased with you. Shenemar Eile Pikudei HaMishkan. You were chayte in the Egel with Eile Elohecha Yisrael. The pius, the appeasement, will come through Eile Pikudei HaMishkan. This medrash is a peludic medrash, as the Mefarshim ask. Was the chayte Egel because they said the words Eile Elohecha Yisrael? Eile was the key word over here of why it was considered a chayte. The chayte Egel wasn't. They built an Egel, whether it was Avodah Zarah, whether it wasn't Mamash Avodah Zarah, but the building of the Egel was a tremendous deviation from the Rosh Hashem. So was it the Eile that was the tremendous chayte? That wasn't the chayte of the Egel. And in building of the Mishkan, the Mitzvah was Eile Pikudei HaMishkan. The Mitzvah was the building of the Mishkan, because Hashem said, "Va'asuli Midrash v'shachanti b'seichem." What does the Eile Pikudei HaMishkan have to do with the Mitzvah of the building of the Mishkan? It sounds totally secondary. So I once heard a Nifla de Kipshat. The word Eile was very much involved in the Chayta Egel. Eile Eliyahu Yisrael. What does the word Eile represent? These are. It's a Lashon Rabbah. There were people amongst the Bnei Yisrael that found the Torah too confining. We have a special oil, we have a shiva, we have to serve only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We like a little bit of diversity. We like a little bit of seeing other kinds of minhagim. As we mentioned last week, the Yerushalmi says that every single shevet had its own egel, its own deity to serve. They felt, you know, we'd like to see other ways of serving Hashem. Yeah, we'll serve Hashem, but in other ways as well. So the chet of the egel came about because of the eile. They felt that the Torah was too confining. So they said, eile, we'd like many different ways of serving Hashem. We'd like diversity. The tikkun for that was, when they built the Mishkan, they saw that even though the Mishkan is serving one Hashem, but there's tremendous diversity in the Mishkan itself. There's so much in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the nerve center of the entire world. The Menorah represented the Chacham in the world. Horeitza Sheyachkim Yagrim, you face towards the Menorah. If a person wants Parnasa, the Shulchan is the Makar of Parnasa throughout the entire world. Every aspect of the Mishkan represented a different Kayach in the Briah. It's a Dari Yadua, the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, that when Alexander the Great used to go out to fight his Mulchamas, the night before, he used to have a dream that the tzaddik in the Beis Hamikdash, who was Shimon HaTzaddik, he is the one that's telling him that he's going to be Matzliach, and that was a sign to him that the Beis Hamikdash was responsible for whether he's going to be successful or not. So the Bnei Yisrael came to the Hakara that whatever takes part in the world is all in the Mishkan. That's what appeased Hashem. You are makir takir that in Avodas Hashem Gufa there's tremendous diversity. And there's different ways of serving Hashem, even if it's one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to go to Agolim or other ways. That's the pshat. The Eile Chotosim Lufonai. You were chayte with Eile by the Eile. The Eile Anim Spais. One of the most ludicrous comments that I ever read was made by one of the heads of the Reform movement. He was asked what he feels was the most tragic day in the history of Klal Yisrael. If I were asked that question, let's start. He said it was the Chet HaEgel. He could say that it was Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, Churban Beitar. Then you can go on. You could say it's the Crusades, Xavier's Tachma, Tachma, Lisky's pogroms, World War I, World War II. There's so many tragic days in our history. But what did this head of the Reform movement say was the most tragic day? See, even difficult to say with the mouth, but it fits in very well with what we're saying here. The most tragic day was the day that the Shulchan Aruch was published. Now, why in his crooked way of thinking was this a tragic day? Because until the Shulchan Aruch was published, we were able to serve Hashem and express ourselves in our own way. There wasn't just one way. But once the Shulchan Aruch came out, now there's only one way. It's a confining way, and we lose our freedom of expression. Afro the Pumayu, to such a krumkeit. This fellow never saw a Shulchan Aruch in his life. Because if he would see a Shulchan Aruch, he would see that there's a machaber that says the halacha, the freedom in the kasvardim based on the Rambam and the Rim. And you have a Rambam that goes up in the Shittas and the Rosh and the Balei Taisus. There's diversity. You'd see a Taz, you'd see a Magen Avraham, you'd see a Shach, you'd see a Kibbeis Hagoyes, you'd see a Dovah Mervava. There is so much freedom of expression over there within the parameters of halacha. Zichud is diversity. Zichud is freedom of expression. Zichud is the kayach hachidish, but it has to be within the parameters of halacha. In the Shulchan Aruch Gufa, there's a tremendous amount of chidush. And that's what the Bnei Yisrael saw. The Chachamim, they thought that in order to have diversity and freedom of expression, it had to be outside of the parameters of the Tzivui of Hashem. The Eila and the Mishpayas Lachem, with the Eila, when you realize that in the Mishkan Gufa, within the Dalai Lamas of the Shekhinah, there Gufa you can find the greatest diversity and the greatest freedom of expression. I'd like to say over a machshavah on Parshas HaChodesh. The first mitzvah in the Torah that Klal Yisrael was commanded was the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, being Mekadosh HaChodesh by seeing the new moon. When two Eidim would see the little sliver of moon that appears, they would come to Bezdin, and they would say, we saw the Chodesh, and if they're going, saw the new moon, if they're undergoing a cross-examination, different questions were asked of them, and Bezdin was convinced that they really saw it, then Bezdin would say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, and the new month came into being. Now this is the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was commanded. It must be that there's a certain general lesson to be taught to Klal Yisrael. Of course, Yechidim were given mitzvahs beforehand. Adam Arishon was given the mitzvah of Puru Ravu, and you had the Zion mitzvahs B'nai Noyah, the mitzvah of Bris Milah was given to Avraham Avinu, Kira Hanosha was given to Yaakov Avinu, but the first mitzvah that we were commanded as a nation is the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Now, what lesson could be taken from here that's a Klal Yisrael lesson in life for Klal Yisrael? There are many different shatim that are said, but I just like to say over a pirush that the Sephorna says over here. Sephorna says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, from now on, time belongs to you. Time is in your hands. Until now, you were slaves to others. Your time wasn't your own. You weren't able to do whatever you wanted during that time, because you were meshuvah to slaves. You had to do what you were meshuvah as slaves, rather. You were shipped to your slave owners, you had to do what they told you to do. But from here on in, time is in your hands. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. From here on in, the Zman belongs to you. That is one of the most important lessons and one of the most important gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bestow on Klal Yisrael. Time is now on our hands. Now we can do with it as we please. And the greatest thing to do with time is, with this tremendous present, is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not to waste it. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. How far does this halacha go? That the control of time was given over into the hands of Beis Din. The new month does not come about until Beis Din says Mekudesh, Mekudesh. The Medrash says, the Malachim come up to Shemayim and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yishloyim, the time for the new month has come already. Should be the new month already. He says, wait till my children down there in Beis Din, wait till they declare that the new month is here. The power of Zman is so great in our hands that we get to control when that new month is. And this is a Mayudika lesson. If we have this Givaldic gift of time, we have to make the most of it. The Gemara tells us that one of the greatest Tanoim, Rabbi Loza ben Arach, which Chazal say in Pirkei Yomis, if you would put all of the Chachamim on one side of the scale, and you put Rabbi Loza ben Arach on the other side, he would outweigh all of them. And yet, the Torah tells us a very tragic thing that happened with him. It says he went off to some place where people used to vacation. It was a place with beautiful, beautiful orchards and beautiful rivers and such, and he stayed there. But wasn't the Machon Torah, wasn't the place of Nei Torah. And when he came back once to visit the Chachamim, they were mechabed him with an aliyah. And it was the parsha of Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. And he got up and he leaned out of the Sefer Torah. And instead of saying the words HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, he said the words HaCheresh Hoyo Liba. He misread the words. From the greatest of Tanoim, he made a mistake in the basic reading. From HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem to HaCheresh Hoyo Liba. Chum were astounded. How could such a thing happen? And they checked up on him, and they saw that he had forgotten his learning. Because he went off to a place where he was Mesiach Das, and he lightened the burden of Liman HaTorah, he forgot most of his learning. And that's Merumiz in HaCheresh HaYolivim. This was a message that they told him in HaShemayim. You didn't learn proper Pshat HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. If you would have learned the proper Pshat HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, you would have seen how important every second, every minute, every second is, and you wouldn't have lightened the burden of Liman HaTorah. By going off to a place where people were lax in their Kabbalah HaTorah and their Liman HaTorah, that showed that you totally misread the lesson of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. Once in Yeshiva of Rav, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Naftali Trumpi, got very sick. And the doctor said that there wasn't much hope for him. So Bachram, they were very close to the Rosh Yeshiva, they went around making a collection. How many people are willing to donate time off of their own lives to give to the Rosh Yeshiva of Naftali? If it's shy of such a thing, I don't know. But apparently they had a good basis of thinking that it's possible to donate life to someone else. One Bacher gave a year off of his life, another Bacher gave 6 months, another boy gave weeks, and so on. And they had Gaboyim going around collecting, how much are you willing to give to Rav Naftali that his life should be lended? So one of the Bacher came to the Chofetz Chaim and asked him for a donation. And he was sure the Chofetz Chaim, the Mechaber of the Sefer Ahavas Chesed, such a tremendous Baal Chesed, he would give a Mordechai donation. Chofetz Chaim is thinking, and the more he's thinking, this Bacher is very uncomfortable. Like, how could it be? He's not giving right away. Finally, the Chofetz Chaim says, I donate 1 minute. Bacher was terribly disappointed, but he wrote down 1 minute, and he walked off. Totally disconcerted. How could it be that the Chofetz Chaim is only giving 1 minute, and that was because it's not like he gave it willingly. So he went over to one of the Rabbanim there, and he told him over the Maisa how terribly disappointed he is in the Chofetz Chaim for only giving away a minute. So this Rav looks at him and he says, fool, why don't you understand? It's very easy for people to give away years and months and weeks, because to them the time is not that valuable. What the Chofetz Chaim accomplishes in a minute, what he squeezes out of every second of the day, is a wamas. He accomplishes worlds. So for the Chofetz Chaim to part with even 1 minute of life is a tremendous mesiras nefesh. That's the lesson that we have to learn from HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem as we enter Chodesh Nisan. And every year when we enter Chodesh Nisan, we're reborn again. There's tremendous ruchnis, the vitamins that pour down on us. We have to realize that one of the basic matanis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as Bnei Chayrin is that now time is on our hands. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. And if we realize that, and we make the most of every minute, then we can shtag, we can become greater, we can be oyla, and those ruchnis, the lights, can take effect on us. Good job, everybody.